It's great to see you. We're in Colossians. We're carrying on there, and we're in Colossians chapter 2. It's an amazing book about Jesus. About Jesus. And so we love to add things to Jesus and subtract things from Jesus, but the Bible is just about Jesus. And when you put Jesus in the middle, your world stops spinning around. And the reality is the whole world is spinning around now. But if you put Jesus in the middle, you can actually stop your world from spinning. It's Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing. Not Jesus plus queuing up for prayer from the pastor. It's just Jesus. And so we've kind of stopped this personal prayer because we want you to deepen your life with Christ. Amen? And so we're going to just speak a few things today. One of them is follow. The second one is foundations. The third one is fullness. The fourth one is forgiveness. And the fifth one is freedom. Follow, foundations, fullness, forgiveness, and freedom. So if you don't remember anything that I say, just remember these five words. Go through the text in Colossians and let it become part of you. We are not here to entertain you. I'm amazed how few people bring notebooks. We are not here to entertain you. We are here to train you in the ways of God so that you will grow up. The Bible says, by now you should be eating solid food, but you're still drinking milk like babies. We need to grow up in Christ so that we can have a faith that can stand on its own. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So my very dear friends who always sit behind me, they're not here today. Their names are Dennis and Annie Shanmugam. A beautiful couple. And when I arrived in Pretoria, Dennis came to me and he said, we will look after you. Me and my family will look after you. It was just the most amazing. And from that day, he sat behind me and he sort of prayed so I can hear him praying during the service. He's praying for me and he's crying out to God for me. I can hear him just say, oh God, bless Rory. Oh Lord God, give him words. Oh Lord God, keep him safe. Oh Lord God. And he does the same for Stephen, and he helps Stephen with his microphone. I hate people touching me. So when I put my microphone on, Dennis tried to help me. I said, Dennis, please, bro. I've done this for years. And he helps Stephen sometimes because Stephen hasn't told him he doesn't like being touched either. But Annie's worked for 40 years. She's worked from a young girl. She grew up in a poor family, just lost her dad. She's worked for 40 years, buried her dad 2 weeks ago. And last week, after 40 years of working, she had some pain in her stomach and has been diagnosed with bladder cancer. You know, her life has not fallen apart. Right now, she's in hospital watching us online. And I want to say to you, Annie, you make Jesus attractive to me. You make serving God attractive to me because you could have thrown your toys out the cot and said, I've worked for so long, for so many, for so few, and now all of a sudden, as I retire, this thing hits me. But she's saying, God, will you help me through this? And she's there for 10 days until an infection comes down. Then they have to go into her bladder and remove a growth from her bladder. And as we're talking, I see her faith is standing. And it's not dependent on other people coming around and propping up. She has a dependent faith. Then she has a husband. Then she has a son and a daughter-in-law and a daughter that can actually, and then she has a group of friends. Then she's got her home group. Then she's got her, but she's actually standing. Amen? And so people are going through all sorts of stuff. The healing is not in the healing is in Christ. And then, as an add-on, we get the community. But if there's no community, you can still stand. The community is just an added blessing. Amen? So let's have a look at this. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Stephen's been preaching on it in the last few weeks. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Say, received. And Stephen's been preaching, we don't give our lives to Christ. Christ gives his life to us. Say this, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. In the book of Acts, the word Savior appears 2 times in the book of Acts. The word Lord appears 99 times. 2 times, 99 times. Lord is your owner, your boss. Just as you have received Jesus Christ as? Not Savior. Not the one who saves me. because it's easy to receive the one who saved me. Just as you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, as my boss, as the one in charge of my time, my words, my emotions, my thoughts, my actions, my relationships, my finances. And so people receive him as Savior, and when their life starts falling apart, they start throwing their toys at the God. Say, no, he must be your Lord. Just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord. That means he takes over your life. He becomes the boss of your life.
Yeah, very good.
He becomes the boss of your conversation. Too many loose words flying around Christian tables. Too many loose actions flying around Christian businesses. He must be my Lord, just as you have received him as Lord. Continue to live in him. Follow through, guys. Follow through. Last week, people got saved. You should be 1 week down your journey with Christ. Follow through. Continue to walk in him. Show progress. Show commitment. Show growth. Don't just cruise around. You know, friends, if I met with my wife for 45 minutes or an hour every week, if I met with her for 45 minutes or an hour every week, we would not have survived 33 years of marriage. We have been through child raising. We've been through illness. We've been through death. We've been through business issues. We've been through, you name it, we've been through it. And you can't build it on 1 week, 1 hour a week. Can't build it. And you can't build your faith on 1 hour a week. You can't build it by, it's a beautiful building. It's great people, unbelievable worship leaders. I mean, how beautiful is that girl leading worship? The rose between the thorns. But you've got these unbelievably gifted people. We've got a white worship leader, a black worship leader. You saw a black guy baptize a white guy and a white guy baptize a black guy. And you look and you think, this is unbelievable. But it's not sustainable if you are not yourself journeying in Christ. And so we are bypassing the process and saying, we just want the shortcut to the pastor who can pray for me so that I can feel better. No, it's a, you have committed to a 50-year journey of sacrifice, servanthood, learning, growing. So after 40 years of busting your guts and building your family up, and when cancer hits you in the second month of retirement, after losing your dad in the first month of retirement, your life doesn't fall apart. Annie Shanmugam, I'm preaching as an honor to your faith that is standing in the midst of the most unbelievably difficult time. I'm preaching to you in the hospital. I'm talking to you, Dennis, and to Anthea. To tell you, you're going through your own issues. Rooted, say rooted.
Rooted.
And built up, say rooted.
Rooted.
And built up. Where are the roots, above the ground or below the ground? They've got to be below the ground. So much Christianity is above the ground.
Yes.
Check me, China. Check our building, China. Check our people, China. Not there because that's the rain. Check how many came out, China. Look how hot our worship team is, China. Look where I'm going for Jesus. Look where I am in the nation. So much of our Christianity is above the ground. Trying to impress people. Unless you have a Christianity that is rooted underneath the ground, you will not stand in trouble. Rooted and say built up. Friends, you know, did you see the Nepalese floods? We look at the Nepalese floods. We think when crisis hits us, it's going to hit us like a little drizzle that we've got outside here. It says, if you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice, it'll be like a man who builds his house on the? On the? Under the ground. When the storm comes, not if the storm comes, when the storm comes and beats, say beats. I saw some people standing on the verandas in Nepal with the mud all around them, just one floor away from sweeping them all away. And the only thing that they could have put their faith in was the foundation of the man who built that house.
Yeah.
And other houses just went. Bridges, gone. And we think, oh, a little pitter-patter, the enemy's going to come against us. It's going to come like a Nepalese flood that's going to smash us. And we have to know that underneath the ground we've got foundations that can stand when rocks and ice and plunging water. I'm talking to young people. So that when you're 60, and I've seen people lose their faith at 60. I've seen people lose their marriages after 35, 40 years. Because when the flood comes, woof, and they haven't spent time communing, praying, crying, repenting, asking for forgiveness, serving, getting up early, making meals late at night, praying when everybody's sleeping. They haven't spent time when the flood comes. I watched that stuff wash away. And I thought, God, please, please don't let that happen to 3CR people. Please, God, let us teach them in such a way that their faith can sustain the storm. You with me? Some of you hotshots, and I don't care what you think about me, but you're so busy building your careers above the ground that you're not spending time with what is not important, cannot be seen, what is unbelievably costly, what is deep in the ground. Strengthened in the built up in Him. Say built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith. Strong. I look at Annie Shanmugam and I think Annie must have been standing there with her house. It's all decorated. Her cars are paid off. Her house is paid off. I remember Annie, this is not to lose her reward, but I remember she got a bonus. She worked for the government. She got a bonus and she was about to take her husband on a holiday with a bonus. And she came to me and said, Rory, I feel this is not to lose. She never told anyone. She said, I feel that this bonus must go into this building. And in the foundations of this building is the bonus of Annie Shanmugam. And as this flood of Nepal proportions, bah, has hit her house, she just stands. My friends, I'm appealing to you. I'm appealing to you. Build something that's under the ground. Build something that's under the ground so we can take the test. Financial, relational, emotional, physical. When somebody dies, we don't mourn like the world mourns. We don't throw our toys out the cot. We grieve, we mourn, and then God comforts us. And then one day, like David did, you just stand up and you keep worshiping Him. How are we doing? Yeah, this is like a snot clap with a hand around you. It's like you put your hand and you go, bah! But don't fall. And part of you think, I don't want to be here. No, you need to be here. You need to be here. Because the storm's going to smack you. You need to stand. See to it that no one takes you captive. You see that? See to it that no one takes you captive. A little bit later, you can put the three things up in verse 16. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you or condemn you. And in verse 18, it says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. So don't let anyone take you captive. Don't let anyone condemn you and don't let anyone disqualify you. And the church is full of all of those things. I don't know if you've ever watched that movie, Taken. If you watch the movie Taken, when that young girl goes overseas with her friend to France and she gets kidnapped, that's exactly the word. Don't let anybody kidnap you. I love it. And that little girl gets kidnapped and Liam Neeson stands up there and says, let my daughter go. I have a very specialist set of skills. I will find you. I will hunt you down, and I will kill you. And when I see that, I think, if anybody takes anybody in 3CI captive, I will find you. I have a very specific set of skills. I will hunt you down. And Jesus died for you. and ransomed you from your kidnapping. You know what it says? Let's go one back. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Say, as you were taught. I know some of you are fighting with me now, but just rather say this. Thank you, Lord God, for Stephen and Rory and Chad and Wendy for teaching us a faith that can stand under pressure as you were taught. Not just, hallelujah, God's going to make you rich. Hey, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Bollocks. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Friends, there's always a fad. There's always new teaching. There are two things that are happening here in Colossae. One of them is people want to take on Jewish traditions to add to Christianity. And the other one, they say Christianity is actually not quite complete. So let's add a few other things, like come to Christ and get rich. Some of you will never be rich. Come to Christ and come to Christ. You don't need, and we have these human philosophies that are going. Feminism is a human philosophy. It's not in the Bible. Chauvinism is a human philosophy. It's not in the Bible. Racism. And these philosophies take us and they come through and philosophy become ideologies and then they start fighting with Christ. No, friends, Christ is enough. If you preach Christ, black men will baptize white men and white men will baptize black men without us having to deal with all this stuff. And people say, you are. I can tell you this, friends. One of the most amazing young preachers in this country has just written a book. His church has exploded. He's on the circuit all over the world. He's just launched his book, and he chose to launch it in this church this week. He could have launched it anywhere in the country, and he chose to come here. And when he stood up, he says, here is where I found hope that South Africa can actually work. All these philosophies, take your, and there's always the latest ideas. We have nothing fancy except Christ. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. You with me? Yeah. Okay, let's read this whole thing next. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by Dr. Saki Sneyman in a lab. Hey, Dr. Saki Sneyman, lekker, what do you specialize in? Circumcision. And we're going to put you in a nice, beautiful, sterile laboratory or theater. And we're going to do a nice clean with a nice sharp knife circumcision. And all the men go, hey, nah. And all the women say, you don't know what childbirth's like, my darling. So we'll talk about it a little bit, okay? Say, I've been given fullness in Christ. The answer to everything in the world is Christ. Listen carefully, my friends. You have been given fullness in Christ. Say fullness. Fullness. You cannot take a full thing and make it fuller. We have fullness in Christ. We don't have three quarters in Christ. We have fullness in Christ. Yes. It is the healer. Psychology is not the healer. Christ is the healer. Christ the Lamb, Christ the King, Christ the Savior, Christ the Lord, Christ the Lover, Christ the Forgiver, Christ the, He is the healing. And because we have a poor Christology, we have queues of people lining up and people falling apart and psychology's rooms absolutely full because we cannot accept that Christ is enough. And so we add a little bit. And so our self-acceptance adds a little bit of failure and a little bit of success and a little bit of material possession, say, I'm blessed in Christ and I've got a good job. No, you're blessed in Christ or you're not blessed in Christ. It is not linked to your materialism. But somehow in our minds, we think this is what successful Christianity looks like. Successful Christianity looks like a man or woman who put 100% trust for their future, their well-being, their identity, their acceptance in Christ. Yes. And don't come to me and say, I feel rejected. You're not rejected. You're full in Christ. Amen. And you have to get your mind to start believing that. I sat in that stadium yesterday, 89,000 people, and I thought, immediately we're thinking, who's got the good seats and who's got the bad seats? Yeah. And life is like that, eh? And we think if we can get to the front row, we can get onto the pulpit, then the acceptance is a little better. No, in Christ, say in Christ, I have fullness. Say I have fullness. No add. Say that, no add. No subtract. No subtract. Then don't look at somebody who's successful and think that he's better off than you. Yeah. Not true. It's true. And then we take a little bit of failure because we need attention, because actually we're feeling sorry for ourselves. So we take a little bit of the failure. I lost my marriage and so on. And we take a little bit of, and we draw attention from people. Friends, you're not meant to gather attention from human beings. Yeah. You're not meant to. You're meant to be secure in Christ. It's wonderful to tell my wife, you look so absolutely beautiful. But if she expects her beautifulness to come from my words, she is going to be deeply disappointed because it's exhausting. I mean, I have to tell you every day, you look beautiful, you look beautiful. Is it wrong to do that? No, but it's also not right. Her beauty comes in Christ. And then I see pastors who say to their wives, there's a pastor in this country who will not let his wife appear before him until she has got up before him, showered before him, and done her makeup and hair, and then she says hello to him. And I think that guy is going to see his backside because he doesn't understand the fullness of Christ. Excuse my friends, but I'm telling you, friends, we are building Christ plus a little bit of this, Christ plus a little bit of look nice, Christ plus the latest kit. I've watched the circuit. I've been preaching at conferences the last 3 or 4 weeks all around the country. And I come in my jeans and my tackies and I don't give a hoot. And I tell you, I see these guys just get up. Gucci tackies, True Religion jeans, looking sharper and sharper. Is it wrong to dress nicely? Not, of course it's not. But that's not my acceptance. Yeah. I don't want to look trendy for Christ. I just want to preach Christ. Yeah. I want to preach Christ. So that it's accessible to the guy who comes in an overall and thinks, must I wear cool clothes to be cool? No, you can come in an overall, sir. And if you're selling pies, then come in your pie clothes. But when you walk in here, know this, you have the fullness of Christ with the whole deity, the whole of the Father, the whole of the Son, and the whole of the Spirit live in that deity. And he says, it's yours.
Wonderful.
Say, I'm full. In Christ. Who is the head? Let's go back to verse 10. Who is the head over every power and authority? Say, who is the head? Over every power and authority. Who is the head over every power and authority? And people come to me and say, the devil is tormenting me. The devil is tormenting me. The enemy is against me. He can't be. He is the head of every power and authority. Get your theology right. So when you feel like there's opposition and people reject you and you feel opposition, you take Colossians 2 and says, my Savior, of whom I have the fullness, is in charge of every head and authority in the world. There's no power, no principality. They say our government are making stupid decisions. He's the head of our government. He's the boss of the ANC. He's the boss of the DA. He's the boss of the EFF. He is above everything that's happening in the municipal elections right now. There's spirits and there's evil and there's backbiting and there's money flowing and there's... And he's still the head over every authority in this nation. Are you with me? You say, this is strong, Rory. I know it's strong because we have to grow up. And so when a little stream hits you, don't throw your toys out the cot and say, Rory, will you pray for me? Take Colossians 2 and say, my King, who is fully resident in my body, is head. And we go from one spiritual warfare conference to the next, claiming and binding and loosing rubbish. You don't have to bind and loose anything. Jesus bound it at the cross. The enemy has got no power over your life. He whimpers and he makes a noise, but he's got no power over your life. You don't have to fast and pray and do all that stuff. It's good to fast and pray, but you don't have to fast and pray. You just got to believe what he's done. He's enough. You with me? In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by Dr. Saki Sneyman, but with the circumcision done by Christ. What is circumcision? I mean, it's in the Bible. What is it? It is the cutting off of a little piece of flesh. Thank God I can't remember. And putting it in a bowl, and there's blood and there's flesh. And the Bible says that our hearts have got that little piece of flesh over them, a foreskin on our heart. And we need that little piece of flesh cut off so that our hearts will be circumcised. So say cut off. So we are cut off from Christ because we are sinners. And because of our sinful nature, which is the flesh, say the flesh. That was just a representation. That little foreskin is a representation of our flesh. Our flesh, the Bible says, is evil. And it says our flesh, because of the sinfulness, is cut off from Christ. So Jesus never went into a theater with Dr. Saki Sneyman for some kind of nice little operation. Jesus got whipped with a cat of nine tails that went into his body, wrapped around his body, and pulled the sinless flesh of Christ off his body and into the dirt of the ground. And the circumcision of Christ is found in the dirt of the ground where your and my flesh lives. And in that flesh, that bloodied flesh on the ground, I find my circumcision. Not some neat kind of, I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. And one day I realized that my Savior was circumcised, not like that. And those little pieces, not in some kind of sterile, those pieces of bloody flesh becomes my circumcision so that I don't get cut off from God. And we've got to just sit and say, if Jesus went through that so that you're not cut off, when somebody unfollows you on Facebook, don't let your life fall apart. Or when your husband leaves you by the flesh for another piece of flesh that is younger, you will find healing in the flesh that's on the ground so that you will not live with the label of divorce, but you will understand the title of daughter that God bought for you with the blood and flesh of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith, in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Let me just finish the scripture. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins, having canceled the written code and its regulations. Say canceled. The written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over the cross. I wish I had time to walk around, say to you, just take 2 hours to write all your sins on a piece of paper, and then take another 5 hours to write the Ten Commandments down, and every single one of the thousands of laws that were written against you, which you can't keep because all of us are sinful. Write that all on a piece of paper. I'm just going to take the next 2 days to come and collect it from all of you. And then we're going to put a big cross up here, and we're going to stick it in the... Bah! We're going to nail it to the cross. And you're going to walk out here free. Cancelled. Cancelled. Nailed it to the cross. Every sin, every shortcoming, every stupid conversation, every law that you've broken, I'm going to pick it up from you. Say, please give it to me. So you can't carry it. It's far too heavy. It's going to knock you over. Give it to me. Please give it to me, ma'am. It's far too heavy for you. I want to teach you in the way that the scripture teaches. Please give it to me so that you don't worry at night. And the devil comes and he says, please give it to me, ma'am. Please give it to me, ma'am. Please can you give it to me? Please can you give it to me, Gary? Please can you, let me show you what Jesus did. He just, he nailed it to a cross. And look what it says. The last verse. And having disarmed, say disarmed. Disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over the cross. And people come and say, the devil is against me. He's been disarmed. He took his gun away. He took his knife away. He took his sword away. He took the hand grenades away. And now he's got a chain around his neck and chains, and he's walking behind in triumphal procession around Jesus. He's got no power over your life. Amen. And every sin that you ever committed, and the worst sins that keep you awake at night, where you toss and turn, you wish I hadn't done that. It's nailed to the cross. Follow through with your faith. Find the foundation under the ground. Live in the fullness of Christ. Know that all your sins have been forgiven. And finally, you're free from the written code and all the rubbish. It's been nailed to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.